me see. Let me turn this thing on. Bingo, bingo. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Little lemon juice. Okay. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. That was a great message. We heard first session. And appreciate it very much. Great truth that we heard from the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse number 14. Let's all stand. Psalm 19, 14. 19, 14. That's when Dr. Tice was born. That same year, 1914. 1914. Put myself back here. Thank you. Organized, ready to roll. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's read it again together. Ready? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. At the end of this great chapter, the psalmist ends the chapter with a prayer. It's an unusual prayer. It's a prayer for good conduct. We pray a lot of prayers, but we don't often pray that the Lord will help us with our conduct. And it's a kind of prayer that we need to add to our praying. We ought to add that prayer. Ask God to help us with our mouth and our meditations. Father, I thank you for the opportunity you've given us today to meet together at this time, these great young people. I pray, Father, that you would to speak to their hearts through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is a great, it's a model prayer. First of all, I'd like us to look at this prayer and break it down. First, the subject of our conduct. The subject of our conduct. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Two important matters of conduct. I remember last spring, because the Denver Nuggets were going to play the Detroit Pistons, and I'm not a real big NBA fan, but I remember reading in the Saginaw News, which is only 3 days a week now instead of the normal 7 days a week, like most newspapers, because when I first went to Saginaw, it was 126,000, now it's 52,000 people in Saginaw, Michigan. A lot of people have died. how many ever remember manufacturing? Anybody ever remember manufacturing? Yeah, three people remember manufacturing. We used to do that in Saginaw, Michigan. But anyway, Camellia, what was his name? What's his name? Let's just call him Carmelia, okay? Carmelio Anthony. How many know that guy? All right, some of you know him. Yeah, because he got the Denver Nuggets. Did you know that he was suspended from playing against the Detroit Pistons because, and I had the article and I lost the article, because the organization said his conduct was not becoming of a leader of the team? How many heard that? How many remember that? Some of you remember that. Conduct is important to the world, even to the NBA. Can you imagine that? The NBA, I think, one of the most rotten athletic programs in the world today. All those guys walking around with tattoos all over the place and five or six women. And I mean, it's just like, it's perverse. But they have a standard of conduct. Well, God has a standard of conduct, too. As we look at the Word of God, we see two important things concerning conduct. I want us to notice, first of all, the mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight. Presidents, dictators, judges, generals. These men or women all have the opportunity with a word to, you know, either put someone to death or give someone freedom. We have words that we use every day. You know that women, girls, and women use 30,000 words a day. At least 30,000. How many girls here would think that you use at least 30,000 words a day? Yes, Hope, I would say you're more towards the 40,000, all right? How many words do men use? How many think? 7, 8, 9, 12. How many? 15? 15,000. How many think? What do you think? 20,000. You're exactly right. 20,000 words a day. Yeah, man. Way to go. 20,000 words a day. All right. A couple verses. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse number 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. There's several great verses concerning our words. Proverbs 8:8. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. Proverbs 18:4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. An important verse we'll look at later. Proverbs 26:22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, we need to make sure that we are using our words rightly. How many believe that? According to the Word of God, we just read, the Bible says, again, Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Bow your heads, close your eyes. No one looking around. Bow your heads, close your eyes. No one looking around. How many would say, you know, Pastor Jackson, I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. But, you know, I have a problem with using wrong language. I have a problem with profanity, or I have a problem with cuss words, or I have a favorite cuss word that I use. And I have a problem with, actually, I have a problem with my mouth because I let these things fly and they shouldn't be there. I know that because I'm a child of God and it's wrong. But I have had a problem with my mouth, with using the wrong language. Matter of fact, maybe you used the wrong language in the last couple of weeks. You say, I have a problem with that. Would you slip your hands up? Say, I have a problem with that. Just hold up nice and high. I have a problem with that. Nobody's looking around but me. I have a problem with that. All right? Maybe put your hands down. You say, Pastor Jackson, I don't have any problem with that. The words out of my mouth are good words, and they're not idle words. I don't have any problem with that. Would you slip your hands up? I don't have any problem with that. All right. Good, good, great. All right. Look back this way. All right. Too often the tongue is a cesspool of iniquity, spewing out wrong words because we become impatient or we're angry. Many times, those who would not be involved in profanity or involved in cussing or cursing use hurtful words. How many of you have little brothers or sisters? How many of you have little brothers or sisters? How many of you have treated your little brothers and sisters like a dog? How many of you have done that? All right, yeah, right. And you've used hurting words. I don't even think you're a member of our family. Huh? Stay out of my sock drawer. Wear your own socks. I don't want your stinking feet in my socks again. Huh? Huh? Who said you could use my lip gloss? I don't want your stinking lips on my with my lip gloss again. You got it? Huh? Your little sister, she uses your lip gloss. And or your little brother used your lip gloss on his pet frog. Huh? I remember this story I've told about Clint with my toothbrush. I remember that story, huh? Yeah, that's terrible. One time my toothbrush was always wet, and I couldn't understand why it was wet. And so I said to my twins, I said, twins, are you using my toothbrush? And they said, no, Dad, we would never use your toothbrush. That's about the grossest thing in the world to use our father's toothbrush. And we'll use your money anytime, but not your toothbrush. So, Kathy, are you using my toothbrush, honey? I use my own toothbrush. I have two or three toothbrushes. Clint, remember, he's Down syndrome. This was 10, 12 years ago. He's Down syndrome. And he, Clint, are you using my toothbrush? Mm-mm. Clint? Mm-mm. And Clint doesn't lie to me. He tells me the truth. Mm-mm. So one day I came home early. I had the maintenance man with me. We went back to the back of the house. There was a window or something broken, so we were looking at it. And we lived in the parsonage at that time. And as we walked in, I noticed that Clint was in the bathroom. See, everything my wife had to teach Clint through rote. And so everything my wife would teach Clint would teach his Bert doll. He's got a Bert doll. How many know Bert and Ernie on Sesame Seed, Street or Sesame Seed? I like Sesame Street bagels. But anyway, it's Sesame Street. And so he would teach everything. And so she was teaching Clint to brush his teeth and not to swallow the toothpaste. Because he'd brush his teeth and then he'd swallow. And so she was telling him, when you brush your teeth, you spit. Huh? How many do that? How many still swallow the toothpaste? Anybody here? No, you don't want to do that. It gives you a stomachache. Bad for your gallbladder. Bad for your complexion. It causes acne over there. Somebody was concerned about that last week. But anyway. So we went by and I saw Clint in there and I came back down and I'm watching Clint and Clint's sitting on the floor and he's brushing Bert's teeth with my toothbrush. And then he had Bert spit. And so he held Bert over the commode and had Bert spit. And so everything, he's like using Bert as a puppet. Spit. And then he took my toothbrush and went around and around the toilet like this. And started brushing. And so I started spitting immediately at that point. Immediately. My daughters didn't kiss me on the lips. Matter of fact, they haven't kissed me on the lips ever since then. And my wife, it was a couple months before she kissed me on the lips again. But anyway. Many times we use hurting words. How many have used abusive language or hurting words on your parents? On your parents? How many? On your parents. You put down your parents with your words. Yeah. The words that we use are important. How do you talk to your parents, to your siblings? How do you talk to them? The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Many times we give ourselves a get out of jail free card when it comes to our parents or to our brothers and sisters because we think we can just treat them any way we want to treat them. But that's not the way the Word of God tells us to treat them. Conduct involves the way we use our mouths. How are you using your mouth? Your mouth is your language. Is it the kind of language that honors and glorifies God? Secondly, meditation. Meditation means thinking about what we've taken into our senses. Our thoughts are a key to our deeds. Everybody realizes that. Before you do something, you have to think about it. You think about it and then you do it. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Let's commentate just for a second. All right, let's take that verse apart. Everyone look at it with me. The Bible says, as, that's presently, he, that's the person, he gives the identity, thinketh, that's the contemplating, as a person thinketh, that's the contemplating. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Back to our text. We recognize that this is so very important that we get our thought patterns right. That we're making sure that we are thinking the way God wants us to think. You know, this is a great phrase. We may not be what we think we are, but we are what we think. Let me say it one more time. We may not be what we think we are, but we are what we think. We need to pray that God will help us with our thoughts. We need to pray for a holy, separated, sanctified thought life. Paul told Timothy, and take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Take your Bibles and turn there. The Bible says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather in the godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come." It takes some time, it takes some work to think right, to exercise our brains in order to think right. Evil thoughts will produce evil conduct. Keep yourself thinking right. All right, now, let me ask you a question. Let's get some interaction here. What causes a Christian teenager to think wrongly? Peer pressure. All right, tell me some other things. Over here, this section. Tell me some other things. When your thought life's not right, why isn't it right? Why? Yes, sir, back there. What? Temptations. All right, but what causes you to be tempted? Yes, back there. All right, bitterness. All right, what else? All right, back over here. What? This section, yes. What? We see bad things. If you see bad things. All right, something else. Yes, back over there. Hearing wrong things. Seeing, hearing. Is that what you're going to say? Okay. What else? Yes. Going to wrong things or going to wrong places. Yes, sir. Talking about wrong things. All right. Yes. Listening to wrong music. Right back there. Not being in the Word of God. Over there. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Man, that'll preach. All right, right there. Yes. What's that? Observing and wanting to be, or you're curious about it. That's what you said, I think, first of all. Right back over here. You didn't say anything? Oh, you were pointing to her? Okay. All right, helping her out. All right, who else? Somebody else? Yes. Dwelling on sin. Like, what do you mean, dwelling on sin? Tell me. Thinking about it? All right, that's what we're talking about here, the meditation. All right, that's good. Yeah. Wrong conversations. All right, TV. How many think TV is TV influences Christian thinking? How many think that? TV. DVDs. How many think DVDs? Music. Okay, what's the music today? I mean, what music are teenagers listening to today? Rock? Is it still called rock? I mean, is it still called rock? Hip-hop. Yeah, that's what I heard. Hip-hop. 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 It's like, hip-hop is not just around Easter time, but that's all year around. Hip-hop. Okay, what else? What? Heavy metal. Heavy metal. Like what you do. You get a piece of steel here and another piece of steel. It's beat on that. Boom. 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 Is that heavy metal? It's like you're walking like this. Oh man, what are you doing? Man, I'm listening to heavy metal. I mean, it's a big deal in Michigan. We have all kinds of scrap yards. You take the heavy metal there, you get all kinds of money. Get your DVD, get those CDs taken to the scrap yard. What's that? That's heavy metal, man. Give me some money for that. All right, great. All right. Really, truth of the matter is, how about country music? Country music. How many teenagers ever listen to country music? How many listen to country music? Yeah. I hear that if you play a country music CD backwards, you get your house back, your dog back, your wife back, your truck back. Huh? No, you never get your purity back. Okay? All right. Let me give you a couple of texting. I know the first session, evangelist gave us a lot of great truth, but texting, LOL. What does that mean? Lots of love. There's one. Well, laugh out loud. Oh, Kathy, I've been texting you the wrong thing. I thought it was lots of love, baby. Just laugh out loud. I'm sorry, sweetheart. Okay. Well, it can be either. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I mean, lots of love, baby. All right, now. But, hey, how many of you Christian teenagers have ever used OMG? That's taking God's name in vain, isn't it? How many believe that? That's taking God's name in vain. especially when you punch it in. Think about it. Because you thought about it, you said it in your mind, then you punched it in. Man, that's against the Ten Commandments. Some of you realize that, huh? Yeah. I mean, that'd be right there in Matthew, as we just read. Sexting. Yeah. It's a teacher in one of our school districts around the church, and she's in all kinds of trouble now because she was sexting a bunch of the teenage boys in her classes. And they're using that to put her away to prison, in prison. Sexting. Yeah, even in Christian schools, we've heard about it, where it's been this sexting, where the girls send pictures over their phones to boys. Oh, I didn't really mean anything by that. What do you mean you didn't mean anything by that? It's wicked. Is that wicked? Huh? How many believe that's wicked? It's wicked. Pornography. Perverseness. You know, but public school. How many go to public schools today? How many go to public schools? Public schools. You know, public schools, government schools. I like to call them government schools. Government schools have taken God out of everything and filled it with secular humanism, post-relativism, and those things are pulling everybody as far away from God as possible. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. I just want to park here just for a minute on this purity issue because it has so much to do with the meditation, so much to do with how we think. If you're not thinking pure, then you're not going to be living pure. If you're not thinking righteously, then you're not going to be following the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 19:14. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's how we need to think today. Christian teenagers, are you a child of God? If you're a child of God, say amen. Are you a child of the devil? If you're a child of the devil, say, oh me. Wait a second, I heard everyone say, amen. So you need to be thinking the way God, your Father, wants you to think. If you're not, you're in disobedience.
Oh, wait a second, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, hey, listen, we need to change our thinking. If we change our thinking, remember that little saying I said, we may not be what we think we are, but we are what we think. Thoughts and meditations have a lot to do with who we are. Purity. Purity. Do you want to be pure? You ought to want to be pure because you are a child of God. Your sexuality is pure when your sexual gratification only comes from your wife. Did you catch that? What do you mean? I'm not married. That's the standard. That's God's standard. It comes from your wife. And if it doesn't come from your wife, it is sin. Tell the person next to you, it's sin. Go tell them. Sexual purity has the same definition whether you're married or not. When you are sexually pure, it means that you are not seeking sexual gratification. That would mean that you'd be very careful what you see on your computer. If you don't have a filter in your computer, you're an idiot. The devil is the prince of power of the air, my friend. Right here, the big guy. Isn't he? You think he has any effect on your computer? Huh? Yeah. He's alive and well. Like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Do you want to devour you? He certainly does. He wants to devour you, spit you out, stomp all over you, laugh at you in your destruction. Sexual gratification comes from three areas. First of all, the eyes, the mind, and the bod. Okay? Therefore, in any war, you need to block those accesses, those points of access, so that the devil can't use those points of access to defeat you. What are you talking about, Pastor?
Well, the Bible says in, take your Bibles and turn to 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verse number 21. The Bible says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. If you go back up, you'll see in verse number 19, and we know that we are God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So the word keep there, again, going along with the evangelist as he was speaking in the first section, it means to guard like a garrison, to put a garrison up around us. It's a military term for garrison. So keep yourselves, block those access points so that the devil can't use those access points to get into you, as he illustrated up here. To accomplish this, you need to build three defenses. You need to build a line of defense with your eyes. You need to build a line of defense with your mind, and you need to build a line of defense with your heart. The first line of defense is with your eyes. Now catch this. This will help you. You need to have a wall up here that says, keep out. You need to realize, like Job, I made a covenant with mine eyes. You defend your eyes by training them to bounce. To bounce off of things that would hinder you from thinking purely or righteously. You understand what I'm saying? So if you see a girl that's dressed immodestly, when you see her, your eyes bounce off of her immediately. You don't sit there looking and saying, wow, look at the way she's dressed. Man, is that disgusting. Wow. Oh, why is she dressing like that? She shouldn't dress like that. No. You understand what I'm saying, guys? Some of you junior high guys, my wife says, junior high boys hardly have a chance today with the billboards and the magazines and the television and all the stuff they see. They hardly have a chance. That's why you need to learn that right now. Bounce your eyes off of those things. You're on a computer screen, something comes up, turn the computer off. Well, I'll lose everything. So what? Better lose that than lose this. So keep your eyes bouncing off of those things. Some of you college guys, you know what I'm talking about. You got to bounce your eyes. You got to keep your eyes bouncing. That's a line of defense. Secondly, your mind. With your mind, you don't necessarily block out the object of lust, but you do evaluate and capture them. And so you have to make sure that your mind is saying, whoa, wait a second, God doesn't want me to think like this. God wants me to think righteously. And immediately, even as we preached on Tuesday, get your view on the throne room of God and off the sewer. Huh? Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter, chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Your mind. I stand before you today and tell you I've never looked at a Playboy. Have you ever seen a cover of Playboy? Mm-hmm. Did you ever have opportunity to open the cover of the Playboy? Yeah. But I didn't do it. Well, that's because you were saved when you were, before you were five, and your mom and your dad, you were a Christian. No. It's because I put those blockades up against the devil. See, let me tell you a secret. I hate the devil. The longer I'm in ministry, the more I hate the devil. So I've seen the devil ruin people left and right. I've had girls walk in my office, good girls, and they said, Pastor, I'm pregnant. We didn't mean it, Pastor, but she's pregnant. Seeing girls deliver babies that they've given up. I've seen young men ruin their lives. I've seen them break their mother's hearts and break their daddy's hearts. And I've seen them break their brothers and sisters. You know those little kids that run up and hit you and then run away? They're looking up to you. You know what I'm talking about? They look up to you.
and you ruin your testimony, and you ruin an example that God could use to help them become even a better Christian than you by the time they're your age. I hate the devil. Tell the person next to you, if you hate the devil, tell him, I hate the devil. I hate the devil. I hate the devil. Need to build that line of defense, recognizing that your mind is that line of defense. Immediately, your thoughts have to go to God, not to self-gratification. Third line of defense is your heart. Proverbs 4:23, the wellspring, the Word of God uses, the heart is the source of life. The heart is central to our being, and it affects our physical, our spiritual, and emotional. This innermost perimeter is built by strengthening the authenticity of Christian love. Now catch this. God wants us to love each other. So that means this guy here, this guy that I've been picking on every once in a while because he's a Steeler fan, and that girl over there, he's got the West Coast College shirt on. You stand up. You two stand up. Go ahead, stand up. You notice this girl? You notice her? Do you know her? You don't? Well, look at her. She's cute, isn't she? With big eyes. Look at that, right? You can still love her. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible tells us to love one another. And you can still love her and say, you know, I love that girl. But today, we're so controlled by the culture of the world for you to say, I love that girl. People think, man, he loves that girl? No, but you love that girl in the Lord, right? And you love that guy in the Lord, right? Because you're brothers and sisters in the Lord, right? See? And we've got to look at God's standard. And God's standard says it's not wrong for you to love that girl or like that girl. But it is wrong for you to like that girl when you're looking at that girl, loving that girl for self-gratification. You understand what I'm saying? Or for you to look at him and say, man, what a hunk. And he's a Steeler fan too. Wow. Pastor Jackson's already married, so he's my only chance. Great smile. Great smile. You may be seated. You honor them in God's program. You want to be a blessing. You treat them with respect because of God's love. It's not taking a pseudo love that the world offers, but it's a true love that God wants us involved in. That's why he says, love our neighbors. Right? You love my wife. And I love your wife. And that's not perverted, because we love each other's wives in God's program. See? I love Brother Tice back there. And he loves me. But we're not in some perverted homosexual love affair. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's not what we're taught. We're loving each other because of the love of God. I met Dick back there. I love Dick in the Lord. We have some common ground, don't we, Brother Dick? And we have some areas that we're similar in. It's that kind of love. You can recognize God's love always gives. The devil's love always takes. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But God committed his love toward us, and while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The devil's love, the world's love, the flesh love, it always takes. It always wants. It wants for you. My heart right with God? Is your heart right with God? Let me give you a couple reasons. I know I'm 7. Let me give you 4 reasons. Jot them down if you have a chance. Jot them down. Here's some reasons why you ought to be pure. And again, this is pure in thinking, pure in your language, but pure. First of all, because God says so. God says, keep thyself pure. God says, live holy. God says, exercise thyself on the holiness, or godliness. God says, flee fornication. Number 2, because there are people who love you and you will break their hearts if you are not living a pure life, if you go off into impurity. Pastor, youth pastor, youth director, brother, sister, little kids in your church, you'll break their hearts if you go off into immorality. You have an influence, whether you realize it or not. Everyone here influences somebody else. We have an influence. Number three, remove yourself as far from temptation as possible. Flee fornication. Move yourself as far from temptation as possible. That means you've got to watch what you watch on television. That means you've got to make sure you don't listen to the wrong kind of music. Don't look at the wrong kind of magazines. Don't get involved in the wrong kind of internet. That means that stay as far away from anything that could tempt you to fall into immorality, to get away from purity. You understand what I'm saying? That means that you have to be careful physically with the opposite sex. Just happens. Boys are really, really stimulated by touch. Okay? And so, you know, they start holding hands with a girl. Once you start that whole physical deal, there's no place to stop. Because holding hands isn't enough. You understand what I'm saying? How many understand what I'm saying? Some junior high boys going, overload. You create appetite you cannot satisfy, because that sexual gratification can only come in where? Everybody? Where? Louder? Dum dum da dum 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 da dum. Marriage can only come in marriage. So why put yourself in that situation that you know is only going to frustrate you and cause you to think the wrong thoughts or to meditate upon the wrong things? Right? I've got a beautiful wife back there. There's my wife. Honey, would you please stand? Look at my wife back there. Is she gorgeous or what? I mean, 39 years we've been married now. 39. Wow. Huh? 39 years. Now, let me see my Steeler fan right back there. You want to go smooch with my wife? Come on, man. Look at her. She's gorgeous. Why wouldn't you want to smooch with my wife? Because she's my wife! Whoa! You know every girl in here is going to be somebody's wife? What are you doing smooching on somebody else's wife? Huh? This girl right here. You want somebody smooching on her, or one day she could be your wife? Huh? How about that guy next to you? You like that guy next to you? That guy right there? You like him? That guy right there. What's his name? Will? I like Will. That's my grandson, second grandson's name. Will. W-I-L or W-I-L-L? Two L's, his is one L. Huh? Yeah, yours is two. I know that. I heard you. Hey, do you want him smooching on your future wife? Huh? I don't know how long his germs could last in her mouth. It's kind of gross, isn't it? Huh? I don't know. Maybe he'll pass his cavities to you 10 years from now. You say, wait a second, Pastor Jack, this is crazy. No, it's not. It's not crazy at all. We are so messed up because we have accepted the world's culture and the world's standards, and we've set God's standards out of the way. You got to smooch with my wife because she's my wife. Well, don't you smooch with these other girls because they're somebody else's wife in the future. Respect God's standards. Respect your parents. Respect the opposite sex. And number four, run away if necessary. Flee fornication. Man, we just got through the first part, but let's look at not only the subject of the conduct, but also the standard of the conduct. Notice, acceptable in thy sight. Back to our text. Acceptable in thy sight. Back in Psalm 19:14. There's a false standard, and we talked about that. That's the world standard. And then the true standard of right and wrong, that's God's standard. We need to understand God's standard is the best standard, and God's standard is the standard we need to live by. God's standard is the standard that is set up in the Word of God. And then number three, notice the sanctifier of the conduct. O Lord, strengthen, or O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Lord gives us the strength. You say, Pastor Jackson, I'd really like to be able to say I can live a pure life, but I just don't know if I have enough strength. God can give you strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He, that is Jesus Christ, is our sanctifier. He separates us, He cleanses us, He gives us the strength that we need. 1 Corinthians, take your Bibles and turn there, we're almost done. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Verse number 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, just swing over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power of Christ resting upon you. And even as the psalmist prays, he's praying literally to have God's Spirit resting upon him. God, you give me the strength. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Take your Bibles and we'll close with this. Let me give you one illustration. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Ephesians 6:10. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6:10, as it's talking about our warring with the devil. And we know that there's a battle between us and the devil. Why? Because we're God's children. He hates God's children. He hates God. We know eventually, someday, the devil's going to be defeated at the last battle of Gog and Magog. And he'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And all those who have denied Jesus, God, and the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, find him, my brethren, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord. My son Clint still plays with action figures. He likes those action figures. He's got one action figure who's actually got one arm. And I've tried to take those action figures with a one arm or one leg away from him, but he likes them all. Probably because he's handicapped and he thinks, hey, what's wrong with this? This is fine. So he takes the guy with the one arm and he holds him in his hand and he's got all these other guys over here, maybe 15, 20 other guys over here all standing up. And he swoops down with this one guy and he starts and knocks them all down. And then he brings this other guy over here and he stands him up and he goes, this one guy over here has the power to wipe out all these other guys. Why? Because he's in his hand and he has his strength. You put yourself in God's hand and God give you the strength to be an overcomer. Overcome the flesh, overcome the world, and overcome the devil. There's a battle. You don't need to lose this battle. When it comes to your mouth and your meditation, God can give you strength. God can help you win that battle. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd speak to the hearts of these young people. Dear God, use your word to challenge them. And Heavenly Father, might we let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Dear God, help them. Meet their needs. Bless them. Thank you for these good young people that are respectable. They respect the Word of God. They've been treating the Word of God responsibly, and they've been responding. Help them to see your way is the best way, and the devil's way is the way of destruction. And say today, Pastor Jackson, God's Word spoke to my heart. There was a need in my life, and God's Word met that need. And I'd like you to remember me in prayer as I really want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in His sight. Would you remember me in prayer? Would you slip your hands up in the quietness of the moment while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around? God bless you. God bless you. Now, Father, you've seen the hands. You know their hearts. Help them. Help me. Help us. Make our words and our meditation acceptable in Thy sight. Father, give us the strength we need. The strength we need as we war against the devil and the flesh and the world. In Jesus' name.